I hope that you've got your Bibles with you tonight. I hope that you've got God's Word with you and around you. I'm going to be, and you may say, well, Brother Lee can't get off of this discipleship. See, that I think that discipleship is something that's very important in the years that we're living now and in the church that we're living in now, especially if when you read in the book of Revelation about the Laodicean church, because they just got comfortable and sat down. Don't have a desire for God. They're satisfied with everything that's around them. Nothing concerns them. And I think it's important for God's people to be in touch with God. The Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy, in chapter 2, verse 3, he said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Paul writing here that we are soldiers, and if we are soldiers, then we are in a warfare. I think that God's people forget that we're in a warfare today. Satan is going to do everything and anything he can to keep you from walking with the Lord. And that goes back to what I just a while ago said and stuff, you know, about being asleep on the bench. Or being asleep at the wheel, not realize what's going on. But here, God says for us to be good soldiers. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this, "All Scripture." I asked you a while ago, I told you, I hope you have your Bibles. I hope that you use your Bible more than just on Wednesday night and on Sunday. Because it's part of your armor for every day that you walk. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's a beautiful thing. It has nothing to do with man. See, man can't give you this kind of wisdom. He can't give you this kind of things because it's not in man to give it to you. This Bible, this book will speak to your heart. And not just to your mind, but it'll speak to heart and to soul. It said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and listen, and is profitable. Not everything in this world is profitable. Not for you, not for your family. But said it is profitable for doctrine. Well, what is doctrine? Doctrine is what you are taught. Reproof. What is reproof? That is rebuke. Do you need rebuking? I'm going to say we all do. Every one of us. I'm not talking about necessarily us rebuking one another, but I'm talking about allowing the Holy Ghost of God to rebuke us when we're wrong and when we do wrong. People don't want to deal with that. For reproof, for correction. That's chastisement, or turning around, for instruction in righteousness. Listen to what it says, instruction in righteousness. You're not going to have instruction in righteousness from nothing else. There's nothing else in this old world that's going to teach you righteousness except God's Word. That's all. Look where you want to look. You're not going to find it. It said that the man of God, not the man of the world, but it said that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the Bible tells us that the Scripture is given for the children of God for us to receive instruction, to live, and to learn by. Once again, we're still talking about discipleship. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians, let me read this to you. You don't have to turn there. We'll go to our lesson in just 1 second. Good Lord willing, something don't happen. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, Paul said, "But I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection." Subjection is me being subject to or allowing someone to control. And that is something that we have to do in our daily walk every day, is bring this old fleshly man and destroy it. Bring it under subjection. Listen to what Paul says. He said, "Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway, rejected or disapproved of." Paul said, "I have to keep my flesh under subjection." Paul said, "I die daily. Every day that I live, I put this flesh to death to allow Christ to live through me and shine through me, that I can do what He'd have me to do." But Paul gave a warning right there too. He said, "Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disapproved of or cast away because of sin in the life." 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Last week when Brother Mike was preaching, he talked about a wise man building a house and digging deep and building the house on a solid foundation, a solid rock. He talked about a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The one built upon the rock stood the test. One upon the sand fell. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3 and 11, he said, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now here God's Word said there is no other foundation to build on in this world. No other foundation to build on except Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, in everything that you do, build your foundation on Jesus in all things. I'm not necessarily talking about just your Christian walk, but I'm talking about in everything you do. Everything you do. Loving your wife, build it on Christ. For the Bible says for a man to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The plans that you make, it doesn't matter how simple they may seem to be. Build those plans upon a solid foundation of Christ. If you seek the Lord first, the Bible says if we seek Him, He shall be found. In everything that we do, the foundation needs to be built upon Jesus Christ. And if we do that, then everything that we do will stand the test of time. Now that does not mean that when you're trying to build, that the Lord may brush that foundation off every now and then. Because sometimes we get a little bit out of line. Sometimes we'll pray for something that we want when we can't see tomorrow, and the Lord can see all the way down the road, and He won't allow those things to happen. And He does that because He loves us. But build your foundation on Jesus Christ. So now we've talked about being a disciple. I want to go to the lesson now. I want to go to the book of James, chapter 3. Book of James is like all of the Bible. It's a hard book. God's Word is hard. It's hard for us to live in this old fleshly man because we are sinful by nature. We don't have any trouble sinning. Nobody has to tell us how to do wrong. That comes easy as it can be. Bible says in James in chapter 3, said, "My brethren, be not many masters or teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." The Bible tells us to judge not, lest ye be judged. The Bible also tells us in the way that we judge, we shall be judged. Now, I'm telling you what God's Word said. This is not something that needs to float over any of our heads. We need to listen to what God's Word says in everything, because I believe in God's Word, every word is there for a reason. There's not a word that's out of place. And you cannot pull out of the Scripture something to suit yourself just to argue with somebody else. The Scripture was not meant for arguing. We just read a while ago there for instruction. Not arguing points, but following what God says. Here the Bible says, "My brethren, be not many masters or teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." You better be careful in how you act in this old world. It says, "For in many things," listen to God's Word, "for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body." I'm going to read that again. You know, when you were in school or when you were a child growing up, you got reminded of things all alone. If you had the teachers that I had when I was in school, those old teachers reminded you of things constantly. Mom and Daddy, they reminded you of things constantly because they wanted you to know it, to realize it, and let it sink in. How many times have we said, "Lord, have mercy, have I got to listen to that again? Or if I had a penny for every time that was told, I'd be rich." But it was done for a reason. God's Word is there for a reason. Listen to what it said. It said, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle or control the whole body." Now, when we think about offenses in this old flesh in our lives, so many times we think about things going on around us. We think about alcohol. We think about drugs. We think about pornography. All these kind of things we think about, you know, around us causing someone else to be offended. But the Bible says if we offend not in word, that's with our mouth. If we offend not in word or offend not with our mouth, the Bible says the same is a perfect man and he's able to control the whole body. If you can control your lip, if you can take that on, you can control your whole body. He said, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." God's Word is talking right there. He's talking once again about the mouth. He's talking about bits in a horse's mouth. A bit is a small thing. It's a small thing compared to a horse A horse is a huge animal, full of muscle. You wouldn't want to just grab him by the neck and push him down. But the Bible says we put a small bit in a horse's mouth and we can control that horse if we're on his back. Also talks about a ship. And talking about a ship being in those days a large wooden ship with huge sails driven by the wind. And the Bible talks about the helm or the rudder, how small in comparison it is to the ship. And yet the pilot or the captain of that ship can turn that ship wherever he wants to go with that small rudder. Just a small thing compared to everything else. Just a small thing. Said, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Listen to God's word. Even so, the tongue is a little member. If you compare that to your arm or to your leg, your tongue is a very, very small thing of the body. Now, you may be sitting there and thinking, I know some, Lee, I don't know how they keep their tongue in the mouth and stuff, you know. I believe you could pull it out and use it for an ironing board. But God said here, it's a small or a little member and boasteth great things. Boasteth great things, stirs up great things. He said, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And when I was reading and studying this, I was thinking about something that happened a couple of weeks ago. I was coming up out of the field, out of the back part of the house. And I was coming up beside the car porch and something caught my eye in the neighbor's yard. Looked like a little puff of smoke. Just come up out of the grass. I said, I must be seeing things. I said, because every now and then I see people that ain't there. And the doctor told me those are shadow people. I said, well, they need to come out of the shadows where I can see them. But I stopped and I looked, and just a few seconds later, there was another little puff of smoke. And I watched this small little old 6-year-old child come from the neighbor's house walking that way, and he had a 1-gallon plastic jug, looked like it had about that much water in it. And when he saw me, he run the other way. So I saw like Moses with that burning bush. I said, I'm going to see what this is making this puff of smoke. And I walked a little closer to it, and it was a pine cone. But as I got closer to that pine cone, there was a van sitting in my neighbor's yard, and there was a fire about that high, had done got up under that van. So I done what any hero would do, I run. I run to my building, I got a rake, I run back up under there, and I reached up under that van, and I started pulling pine straw out. About the time I got back to the van, here come that little boy pouring that water out on fire. I said, oh, we're adding up now. So I just kept pulling that fire out from under it, pulling that straw, because I didn't know if the van had gas in it or not. And I know what happened, it'd blow up, it'd go right in my yard. Always goes toward the house. And I told the little boy, I said, run and put some more water in that jug real fast. And I said, get more than that this time. So while he was gone, I was steady beating that pine straw with that rake. And he'd come back, and he poured water on it, and the fire was out. And I got to looking around that spot, and behind the van, right down there at a pine tree, there's one of these little lighters about that long. See, that made me think when I read that scripture, I said, now that's sort of like that tongue that the Bible's talking about. It ain't no big thing. And here this little old child was. Now, when he started with that little old bitty thing, he didn't know what kind of big thing he was going to stir up. what kind of trouble that he could have caused if that van had caught on fire with gas in it. And you listen to what God's Word said here. It said, even so the tongue is a little member, boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. That fire didn't start out as no big thing. But before they knew it, before any of us knew it, it had done spread. And it was not for the good. Now people, I'm going to tell you something. I want you to listen to me. I don't care. The Bible said a while ago that the Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable. Now that is for good. It is profitable. That is for good. He said for reproof. That's rebuke. For correction. For instruction. It's for the good. God's Word. God's preaching, God's teaching is always meant for the good of God's people. It is meant for the building up and not the tearing down. And if things are tearing down, then we're going in the wrong direction. That's the reason I believe that God's people in this day and time need to wake up. I want to tell you something. Now, we talk about revival. And when we talk about revival, I don't know how you think. But when I think about revival, I think about people shouting and praising the Lord, enjoying, rejoicing, and enjoying the things that be of God. But I've also been in church meetings when people would just beseech the Lord, weep and cry and beg for revival. But there was no shouting. None of that went on. Sometimes revival is not the shouting and the running around, but it is the walk that you have with the Lord. Where do you want to walk with the Lord with? The Bible says if we draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to us. That's your revival right there. When you're walking close to the Lord and you're rejoicing in the Lord. I'm not talking about just on Sunday or Wednesday night. I'm talking about wherever you may be in this old world, Monday through Sunday, rejoicing and thanking the Lord and walking with Him. I'm going to share this week. See, I grew up in a day and time that's different than now. I've seen them old tent revivals in the shavings. I've seen people laying in the altar. I'm not talking about on their knees. I'm talking about laying down flat on their face and weeping at the altar. Uncontrollably just shaking and weeping. I've saw the Lord's hand touch people in hospitals when the doctor said there wasn't nothing else they could do and walk them out. You'll never convince me that God's not the same today as He was yesterday. And all power is in His hands. All power is in His hands. He's the same God. What has happened in this old world is that we have walked away from Him. He hasn't walked away from us. My daddy grew up hard. His daddy left them when my daddy was 8 years old. My daddy come out of the second grade at 8 years old and was hired out in a field toting guander. Now for some of you younger ones and stuff, that's fertilizer. 8 years old. My daddy started carpenter work probably in the 1950s, but he farmed all his life. If you want to call a sharecropper a farmer, because that's what he did. Now, I've heard my dad say a lot of times he could have made a living at looking at the back end of a mule. He would never have picked a hammer up because my daddy loved working in the field, working in the ground. But I've seen my daddy in the field, planted his seeds, and look up to the heavens and pray that God would send him some rain. Because, people, I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter what you do here. You're going to have to look to the Lord to complete the project. You can strive, as Paul said, toward the mark, but unless you look to Him, nothing's ever going to come of it. You're going to have to set your eyes upon things above and not things of this old world. You're going to have to set your eyes upon the Lord and trust and believe in Him in all things. And there's going to be some dry seasons. You're not going to hear from Him. But now I was talking about Daddy praying for rain. See, if it goes getting dry around here, I'm going to tell you now, Lee's going to start praying for rain. It ain't like it used to be where people used to have to dig wells. Now, cities, governments, they sucking water out of the rivers, got everything piped up down the road. It's so convenient. For those of us who are old enough to remember what a well bucket was and dropping that down in a well and then cranking it back up to get water is a different thing than turning a tap on in a house. We've got everything convenient now, but church, I want to tell you something. I don't care how big man gets. I don't care what he does. God can dry things up, and then pipes and rivers dry up. You better start looking to the Lord and thanking Him for the mercies and the kindnesses He shows to you. Now, it had been dry for a couple of weeks, and I was out of working in the yard, and it's overcast, heavy clouded. And I'd been praying for rain. And I was going around the corner of the house, and about two drops hit my head, and I didn't feel nothing else. And I said, well, I guess that's all that we're going to get. And the Lord spoke to me just like I'm talking to you now. He said, if I send one drop, if I send two drops, I'm still God. And I still answer prayers. And see, that's part of God's Word right there where it says rebuking. See, because what He was doing, He was rebuking me. He said, Lee, where's your faith at? I sent you two drops. You're not satisfied, are you, though? And I started weeping and crying as I went around the house and thanking the Lord for them two drops. Well, people, when I started thanking the Lord going around the house, it started raining. I'm talking about the very same time that I said, Lord, I want to ask You to forgive me and thank You for being good to me. The rain started falling on me. Well, that made me more ashamed, so I walked on down there to my building. I got in my building. I got on my knees and laid my face on the wood floor of that building. I said, Lord, You're God. Forgive me for what I am. Forgive me for my failings and for my shortcomings. And I want to thank You for being good to all of us. Because the Bible says it sends His rain on the just and on the unjust. He blesses everybody, but the world don't want nothing to do with Him. And I come out of that building. When I walked out of the building, people, it was still raining with a blue sky. And the Lord said, I can let it rain when there's not a cloud around. That is the God that we serve, church. He is a living and a true God. This is a church house. It is not a social club. We should come for one reason and only one reason. And that's to praise and glorify Him for what He does for us. I'm going to tell you something, people. We can walk in here even when we've got trouble on our doorstep and still thank God for being good to us. Because I'm going to tell you something. Even if death is knocking on the door and you're saved by the grace of God, brothers and sisters, you're going home. You hear me? This is not home down here. I got a home on the other side that I have not seen yet. And I'm traveling toward. Somebody told me one time, said, Lee, are you crazy? Do you believe in aliens? I said, I sure do. I'm one of them. I said, I do not belong here. And a lot of people said, you don't. You need to be in a hospital somewhere. The Bible says in verse 6, and the tongue, listen, is a fire, a world of iniquity or sin. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Listen to what God's Word said. Now listen, this Bible is talking to the church. It's not talking to the world. There's a reason that God's Word has to be hard on God's people, and that's because we are hard-headed. We are hard-headed. How many times my daddy, when I was a young boy, tell me, "You're the hard-headedest thing that I've ever seen in my life." Daddy was telling the truth. He was telling the truth. The Bible says here that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, a world of sin. It says, so is the tongue among our members or our body, that it defileth the whole body. What we say. You know, people like to say this right here. Kids are not listening to you. There used to be, and I've shared this with you before, and I'm going to share it again. Like I said a while ago, things, we need things repeated to us. Because we don't listen. We hear only for a moment. Our ears let information go in. But if we don't take it down into our heart, it does us no good, because what goes in the ear doesn't stay there very long till it's forgotten, unless it means something to you. There used to be an old dentist in Bowden, Dr. Mars, and Dr. Mars was an old man when I was a child. He probably took care of me probably maybe till I was 10, if I was that old. And he told me one day in the office while he was working on my teeth, he said, "Lee, if you can't find something good to say about somebody, just be quiet." Now listen, now that's a hard thing. Now I want you to think about this just for a minute. Now the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Moses was led by God and he chose to suffer the affliction of the nation of Israel rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, I said God's Word is going to tell the truth about everything. So now, what did it say right there? He said, the pleasures of sin. So is there pleasure in sin? The Bible said there was. And this old flesh is like a hog. It loves slop. Now, what are you going to call sin but slop? Because what good is sin going to do? Because it is brought by Satan with his temptations by this flesh. And Jesus called Satan a thief who cometh not for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You hear what God's Word says? It's complete opposite of what God wants to do for His people. God wants to build you up. Satan wants to kill you. And if you're a Christian serving the Lord and trying to be a witness for Him, you own His mark. You own His mark. But I was 8 or 9 years old when Dr. Morris told me that, and I still remember it. I don't know how things are at home with you. But I know when I was growing up as a child, Mom and Daddy stayed on me all the time. It wasn't part of the time, it was all the time. All the time. There was a reason for that. The Bible says you're the children of God. Do you not think that if you're striving to walk close with the Lord, He's not going to stay on you about things that are wrong in your life? He wants to purge those things, the wrong things. He wants to purge the sinful things out of you so that your life can be better. I believe that's what the Lord was talking about when He said, come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You can't have abundant life in this old world because what in this world is temporal and is going to pass away. But what is eternal is going to be forever. It said, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Now listen what God's Word said. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now the Scripture just keeps on talking about the tongue. Just like I said a while ago, that Mom and Dad just keep on about things and me growing up. Because I had life lessons to learn. Because there was a right way and there was a wrong way. This world wants the children to go nowadays with this thought, my way. And my way is going to lead to death and destruction. It is imperative to raise your children in the right way. You know, Mom and Daddy, I used to think they were just rough as a cob, but Mom and Daddy loved me. Just like the Lord loves you. And He loves you more than Mom and Daddy did. More than Mom and Daddy. And the Bible says here, now listen to me, what God's Word said, because it applies to us all. You might say, well, Brother Lee, I don't use my tongue in that way. Then let's mean you get together after church and let's talk about your perfectness. Because I want you to think about this now. You sit down at a table, or maybe you're sitting in the living room, and you're having a conversation with your husband or your wife. And the conversation goes like this. Have you ever thought about old brother so-and-so? Now right there is an humble man. He loves the Lord. He said, you know, you're not going to find a sweeter person than him. He's always been the kindest thing to me. Or, I don't think I said nothing to you about this. I had forgot about it just a few minutes ago. Did you hear about old so-and-so? Now, you ain't going to believe what I'm finna tell you. And listen, don't let it get out. You understand what I'm saying? Don't let it get out. I had a guy tell me at work one time, said, Lee, I can trust you. Let me tell you this. I know it won't go no further. I said, just don't take a chance on it. I said, don't tell me. I said, don't tell me. And he didn't. I think I sort of offended him, you know. But anyway, what I'm saying, it's easier for us to talk about the faults of other people than it is to talk about good. And you want me to tell you why that is? Because that is the pleasures of sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is more pleasurable for this flesh to talk about somebody else and what's going on with them and what's wrong than it is to talk about the good that old Dr. Morris told me to talk about. You got to remember what this old flesh is. It's sinful by nature and it loves the pleasures of sin. It's like a hog loves slop. One more time. Just like a hog loves slop. That's the way this flesh is. Better watch this old flesh. I've told people this. I have probably quoted Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 more than I've quoted any scripture in the Bible. The Bible says, brethren, when you see a man overtaken in a fault, wrongdoing, sin. Now we talk in church because it said, brethren, it said, ye which are spiritual. Didn't say busybodies. Didn't say somebody trying to dig and find your business out. It said busy. It said spiritual. It said restore. That's to make new. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. That's humbleness. That's humbleness. That is something we need to remember in the church, is to be humble. To be humble. This is a thing that always stuck in my mind. It said, considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted. That simply means this right here. When you see someone that has gone astray, you put your arms around them and you love them. Just like Brother Mike was talking ago about Jesus on the cross. He said, forgive them. Now listen, I'll tell you something. We see paintings of Christ on the cross. We see Him hanging up there and we see the blood on His hands, His feet. We see a lot of times blood on His side, but that's not what Jesus looked like. The Bible said He was beaten beyond recognition. He was nothing but just a fleshly pulp of a man hanging on a cross. Tore all to pieces. Peter said He left us an example to follow in His steps. And from that cross, He prayed the Father to forgive them, for they knew not what they were doing. The Bible also said this about Jesus in Isaiah, that when He was in this old world, there'd be nothing about Him that is according to the flesh or His looks that would make us desire Him. Jesus wasn't a movie star. He was a simple, humble man who bowed Himself to the Father in everything that He did. The Bible says the tongue no man can tame. So, all right, if man can't tame it, where are we going to go? The only place we can go, and that's to the Lord. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Now, the Bible says the tongue cannot be tamed by man, so just take it at that. You ain't going to be able to get it straightened out. You're going to have to ask the Lord to put that bit in your mouth and to help you. That's the reason God's Word said what it did. He said, be swift to hear. And here again, you better be careful what you hear. Be swift to hear. Be swift to hear the Word of God. The things that be of God. What God says to you, because God will speak to His people. If you're striving to serve the Lord, God will speak to His children. I believe that with all my heart. He will direct your paths if you seek Him. He'll guide and He'll direct you. And if you, and the Bible says if you ask anything according to His will, He'll give it to you. So it's a good thing for us to say, you know, Lord, if you please, if you don't mind, put a bit in my mouth and help me. It said be swift to hear and slow to speak. And then it really stumps my toes and slow to wrath. Because I'm bad, fly off the handle. And then I have to back up and apologize. You know. And so it's better, the Bible says, to obey than to sacrifice. So if the Lord tells us to be kind to one another, and that's not just here, that's outside in the world. I had a young lady tell me at work one day, I carried a cooler of ice far out to her car. I put it in the car. And she says, I tell everybody that you're the kindest man I know. I said, Lord, hun, if you could see inside me how you would go back and apologize to them. I said, because there's a lot of anger and a lot of meanness inside of me, in this old flesh. But we're not to walk after the flesh. Bible says it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. He said, therewith bless we God, even the Father, listen, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. He said, out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. He said, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, either of vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Think about how silly that is. I'm talking about in this old fleshly man to be in here on Sunday praising the Lord and out on Monday cussing somebody's behavior. Especially if somebody's in the church house is on the job with you. Because what do they think of you? And what does the Bible say? The Bible says, let not your good be evil spoken of. And so they're going to talk these things about you when they see you acting contrary to what God's Word says. And I'm going to tell you what the world says. And you already know this. The world says this about a Christian because they want to see you fall on your face. They do. They love it. They do. I don't know what it is about a Christian falling on their face. I guess the thing about that is and stuff, there's only one God, one true God, one living God, and that's a God that a Christian will serve, who is saved by His grace and washed in the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. So there's only one real I hesitate to say religion. I don't like that and stuff. Only one true God is what I'm trying to say here and stuff. So everything else is phony anyway. And so it doesn't matter if a phony falls. But if you strive and to serve the Lord and you fall, the world wants that. And here's what's going to come out of the mouth. If he's a Christian, the woods is full of them. But what they don't realize is the Lord's coming back, and He's going to clean the woods out. Because it doesn't matter where God's people are at. If they are saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood of Jesus. People, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible talks about fear of the Lord, and this country has no fear of the Lord anymore. It doesn't. And so many times we won't talk about fear of the Lord as a reverent fear of the Lord. I have a reverent fear of the Lord. God deserves more than just a reverent fear because He is God. The Bible says when He told Moses to bring the children of Israel out from under Egyptian bondage and He walked them away from Egypt and they came into the mountain where God spoke both to Moses and to them. Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. That wasn't a reverent fear right there. That meant that Moses' knees was knocking together because God is God. He's not something that you sort of picture in your mind. He is God, eternal. There is none beside Him. Jesus told the people, He said, don't be worried about the man who can kill your flesh. He said, you be worried about God who can kill flesh and soul. Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God is not a plaything. He's not a plaything. Verse 13 says, who is a wise man? And endued with knowledge among you. Now listen to what this says right here. He said, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Show out of a good conversation. You know, it's hard to have a good conversation. in this old world, because the world wants to talk about things that I don't want to talk about. And there have been a lot of times in my life and stuff that I've had to walk away from. And that's fine on me, because I'm the kind of person, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. Some people, you know, talking about them bothers me. I'm just not the kind of person that I'm going to pay no attention to. I'm just not. Because, you know, old saying says, well, if you're talking about me, leaving somebody else alone. So if you want to pick out, you know, me and talk, that's fine. I mean, that is fine. So if I walk away from a group of people and they go to making fun of me and stuff, you know, that don't bother me. I don't care one bit in the world and stuff. But we need to be around wisdom. And the conversation that's going on, be around wisdom. Let me just read you a scripture. Let's see. Proverbs chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 7, it said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, we talked a while ago about a reverent fear. We talked about what Moses said, a quaking fear. I'm telling you, both of them are required. And it said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Well, I began my knowledge in the first grade. Well, good. Act like it. We need some first grade teaching in the church to get us back where we need to be. To set our minds and our affections on the Lord and not the things of the world. It said the fear of the Lord, beginning of knowledge. It said, but now listen. It said, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And what did the Bible say? Well, go, said the word of God was given for what? For instruction. It said, fools despise it. They don't want to listen. Now, this is God's word. This is not Lee. So you're going to have to talk to yourself and ask yourself, which category do I fall into? Which category? But a wise man is going to show his wisdom by a good conversation. And most of the time, that good conversation is not going to be all that long. I've been around a lot of people and stuff that was good Christians. And they say what they wanted to say in just a little short time. And walk and just be as humble and kind. Every time you see them, it's the same thing. I said, Lord, help me to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. He said, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, or fleshly, and devilish. Bible said, once again, talking to the church, he said, if you have bitter envying, if you're desirous of what somebody else has got, if you're jealous about what somebody else has got, and strife, trouble, stir up trouble. I don't want to stay mad at nobody because it eats at you all the time. It eats at you all the time. Let it go. Let it go. Let silliness go. Because so many times, the strife and the envying that we would allow in our hearts, if we set our minds and our hearts on the Lord, we can just let it go. Just let it go. Brother Mike, I'm finished. I'm turning it over to you. Thank you for your attention.